Hey, everybody, it's the Great Debates Podcast.
Yay.
Yeah.
Cool.
No, you know what? Screw that lukewarm enthusiasm. I'm ready to go. Medina, hit me with a micro.
Okay, here we go. 3 minutes on the clock. Steve Healy taking the pro topic up for debate. It's better to have a distinctive face than a generic face.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. You have a distinctive face. You're going to have an interesting life. You're going to be attracting people. You're going to be memorable to people. You want an average life? Have an average face. Hey, maybe this is a bias of me, but I want to lead an exceptional life. I don't want to just be one of the average guys in the middle of the bell curve. I want to play for all the marbles. So I say it's better to have a distinctive face. Look, you might be incredibly handsome. You might be like, I don't know, who's famous for their beautiful face? Cindy Crawford. You might be super ugly, but distinctively ugly in such a way that like even that will be appealing and interesting to some people. You'll be fine with any kind of distinctive face. Average face, average life. Me, I want a distinctive face.
You're confusing generic with average. That's not what generic means. The truth is that a generic face is a handsome face. Face, if you look at composites of many people's faces, what happens is the differences get smoothed out, the symmetry is higher. A generic face is almost by definition a good-looking face. It's better to have a face that is the average, if you will, in a more mathematical sense, not in an attractiveness scale sense. It's better to have a face that is an average of other people's faces, a generic face, so to speak, because it's better looking. You could go online and look for, like, they do tests where they take different racial groups or all the groups together. If you've ever seen these pictures where a bunch of people are sort of morphed together in one face, those faces are beautiful. Distinctive faces have huge downsides. I myself have what I would consider a distinctive face.
Oh, yeah.
As a child, I was mocked for it. People made fun of my nose and my chin. People younger than me teased me about the look of my face because I was distinctive.
Look at you now. Cute girlfriend,
look
successful
at me now.
Podcast, great career,
Healy,
enviable
really,
life.
Would you really argue that if I had a more common handsome
yes,
face that
absolutely.
I would be less successful
than
I am now?
If you had an average
now,
face, you
totally
would be
disagree.
A lawyer. You would just be an ordinary guy. It's your distinctive face that has given you the distinctive life that you have.
Don't tell me. You have no idea the reasons that I've chosen the path
no,
that I have.
David,
it has nothing to do with my face.
I work over at John Hancock in insurance. I run kind of the mid-size insurance group.
I want to shoot
Catherine.
Down another idea you had, which is that distinctive faces people will like remember.
You're
you.
Running away from the nightmare life I just presented you with a generic face.
Because I know that it's not,
it's
a false argument. That's not actually, if I were had a hand, I would be in the
okay,
same
where were you group. Going?
I'd just be better, more successful.
Yeah.
People like Steve Buscemi is the exception to the distinctive face thing. Most people with distinctive faces are embarrassed of their face, are not as attractive. They get weird looks from, if you have like a weird mole on your face, that's a distinctive face.
Cindy
most
Crawford
examples,
is a weird mole on her face.
Most examples of distinctive faces are features that you would not want. A generic face is something that you would want. It's that simple.
This is like a guy who wants to escape into the, just hide in anonymity.
Not at all. I want to be known for how gorgeous my face is. And that's what a generic face is. What I don't want is to be known for the size of my nose or the weird ears that I have. Think of
like our president who has huge weird ears. Wow. The ding-dong of doom.
Can you feel that vibrating on the mic there?
We're into... Well, Medina, what did you think?
I mean, it's better to have a distinctive face.
Thank you. I agree.
Jeff Goldblum.
Goldblum.
It's not that
versus,
distinctive.
It's completely and utterly distinctive.
Who
and
has
I think
a generic
of it as an
face?
Interest.
No,
Tom
I think
Ridge.
Tom Ridge. Where'd you pull that out?
I don't know. It just came to me. Tom Ridge has a generic face, and I hate that guy, right?
Jeff Goldblum. I'm sorry,
but,
man.
I
got to put
Goldblum,
my foot
I like
down here.
Him. I like him.
Jeff Goldblum has a generic, what I would consider a generic Jewish face.
Mm.
He has distinctive characteristics and voice tics and mannerisms.
No, he has like those lips are like, and he's got
yeah.
Oh, but
dark
that's the way he presents
it's kind
his
of
lips.
Mr. Potato Head.
If Jeff Goldblum were in front of us,
he presents his lips
because of the way he like puckers them a little bit. The way he talks. If Jeff Goldblum were standing right in front of us right now,
I'd be like, that is
you
a
know
distinctive
who has a generic face.
Guy.
We can't name them because their face is not memorable. We've never heard of them, and they're just disappeared from our lives.
Except for
what
Tom
people who have
Ridge.
A generic face.
Yeah.
Ben Rhodes has a generic face.
Ben Rhodes. You've had Ben Rhodes on the brain.
He's in my crosshairs, man.
Yeah. Medina's coming for
Giselle
Ben
Giselle Bundchen has a generic face.
That is ridiculous.
Brad Pitt has a generic face. Carly, definitely. Well, actually...
Carly Fiorina? Distinctive.
Yeah.
Distinctively witchy and evil.
But like a lot of faces out there like that, I also think.
Yeah. Dave, you were going to scratch off a scratcher in host chat.
Let me get to it. Yeah, I have a $5 classic poker California scratch-off ticket. Let's see what happens.
So we could be... How much money could we stand to win?
The biggest prize here is... I think it's like $100,000.
And are we splitting that with producer
Mark? I'm sorry,
$75,000. Or how are we doing that?
The winnings will be divided as such. I win 50%. The remaining 50% is to be divided equally between the three of you.
Between Medina, Steve, and producer Mark.
Yes. Unless it's under $20, in which case I'm just keeping it for simplicity.
Cool.
If it's under $100, I'm keeping it.
Well, how about if it's under $100, we reinvest it in more tickets?
No. I'm going to scratch it off now.
Okay, now while you're scratching, I have something I wanted to talk about.
Okay, go for it.
Cracker's Dilemma. The Cracker's Dilemma.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought this up.
Okay, so I was at Whole Foods the other day.
I'm being sarcastic.
And I was going to buy some table crackers. Mm-hmm. And I picked up the box.
By the way, I have Trip Kings on hand, too. Okay, cool. That looks pretty good.
And I dropped it in the aisle, right?
The crackers.
Dropped the box of crackers. Okay, but I haven't bought it yet.
Yeah.
So, Medina, you're something of an ethicist. What can I just put that back on the shelf?
Did they break?
Do I have to buy that box?
Did you cause damage to the product?
I didn't know. I hadn't opened it yet. But, I mean, I dropped it pretty hard on the ground. I don't want to buy a box of Birkin crackers.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
I think it's on the manufacturer to package the product in a way that can sustain sort of the normal course of business in a grocery store, which is going to include some droppage.
Okay.
And so you should be able to assume that they've done that.
Okay.
We all take a risk that we take a broken egg home here and there, and they've kind of come up with ways to guard against that. You open the package right before you check out, but every now and then that happens. Guess what? It's part of life. You go back to the grocery store, you say this one was broken, or you don't because it's a couple bucks and it's not worth your time.
Yeah.
If someone, the worst case scenario is that someone else gets that box of crackers, brings them home, and then they're broken.
Yeah.
It's just not that bad of a thing.
So I should buy that box or I can put it back and not worry about it.
Back.
Thank you.
I mean, you definitely don't have to buy it. You could go and say, I dropped these.
We have
and
a
I
thing. Don't, but that's the last thing.
Come on, what a pain in the butt.
Dave, how'd we do?
It's the most possibly boring outcome.
Free ticket or $5?
I won $5 on a $5 ticket.
Okay, when they give you that $5, are you going to buy another ticket or are you going to keep it?
I don't know. I'm probably going to never go back to a store and deal with this.
This is kind of why I'm in charge of host chat. Should we just get into a main?
Host chat mishap?
Yeah, wait, there's a bonus chip.
Oh.
It's nothing. Okay.
Is there nothing we can talk about to kind of get us out of this morass?
Oh, yeah, I've got something. Hmm. So I was watching, they've been talking during this election cycle about the candidates' penis sizes came up. Trump and Ruby and whatever. And I was watching the movie The Candidate from 1972.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you seen that one with Robert Redford?
No. Mm. Was it good?
Great.
Yeah.
Highly recommended. But like, there's a part where this, Redford's like this cool, rich guy, and they're going, some guys go to recruit him to run for Senate, and he's there, and they're like, you know, he's got the looks and whatever, and then his girlfriend says, and he's got the power. And Redford looks over at her and goes, what does that mean? But the consultant guy is like, he knows. When the girlfriend says that, you've got a winning candidate. Then later in the campaign, they're running against this guy. And they talk about like, well, you know, Harden, he can't get it up anymore. And they're, you know, talking about using this metaphor, but basically they're being like, you know, the guy with the bigger, stronger wang is who wins the election. What do you think about that?
Very interesting. You had a very interesting theory recently, kind of related to this.
Uh-oh, what was it?
About winners of presidential elections.
Oh, that the sexier guy always wins?
Yeah, I love this theory. That since the advent of television, basically, the sexier man is the one who wins. Or do you think it goes back even further?
Or
the sexier
hard
candidate?
To say. I haven't looked into it before. I think I went back as far as like Eisenhower.
Who are the closest calls?
Well, I think McCain is quite sexy.
Yeah, but
you
he's
do?
Feeble.
Fighter pilot, cool guy.
But his voice
But he's old and whatever.
He's
old,
become feeble. Unsexy.
And yeah. Next to Obama?
Come on. Yeah. Come on.
Obama was sexy. That's the closest one. And then there was one that in like, you know, I couldn't tell you who was sexier of like Dewey or Truman. Mm. I don't think Truman was very sexy.
I totally believe in this theory.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what's going to happen if we have a woman as our nominee?
Well, how sexy is she? You're talking about Dr. Jill Stein?
I'm talking about Dr. Jill Stein, Dave's candidate for the Green Party.
If only if Bernie doesn't win the Democratic primary. She's who I'm supporting.
Hey, but let's say Hillary is the nominee, right?
Yeah.
Then, how are we going to assess her sexiness versus possibly Donald Trump, possibly Marco Rubio?
Cruz? Sexiness is sexiness.
Yeah, everybody can you be think, sexy.
What's the trouble here?
How would you rate her sexiness as a candidate?
Haven't you ever seen a couple and the guy is sexier than the girl, or the girl is sexier than the guy, or the two guys or one of them?
You guys are dodging the question. How sexy is Hillary Clinton?
Oh,
not that sexy.
Like not that sexy. Yeah, not that sexy.
How sexy is Bernie?
Very sexy.
Very.
No.
Well, no, but here's the thing.
No.
There's all these women out there that are like, feel the burn, and that makes him sexier. He's become... I would say that in popular media, the sexier he becomes in a moment, the better he's doing in his campaign.
You know, actually, in the shower today, Dave, I was trying to think of the equivalent of feel the burn for your candidate, Dr. Jill Stein of the Green Party.
Yeah. And she's not my candidate yet. I want to be clear about that. I'm feeling the burn. I love Bernie Sanders. I've loved him for years. Yep. I'm all for him. I don't think he's going to win the primary. I'm anticipating a switch only because I live in California where my vote is super irrelevant to Dr. Jill Stein.
Well, the closest I came to a winning one was take a Jill pill.
Mm. By the way, that is so much better than any of the slogans that they have at Jill Stein 2016. Their store, if you're listening, Dr. Jill Stein, you're driving me crazy. All I want is a Jill 2016 t-shirt, any sort of paraphernalia. They've got all these stupid slogans on them. Busy.
Let's have the Great Debates get hired by the campaign of Jill Stein. I mean, you tweeted at her, right? And she kind of...
She retweeted me. It was a great honor. I think she's one of the few people running for public office who's like a real person.
We offered a couple episodes ago to work... We said we would work for Ted Cruz, or at least we'd said we'd take the meeting.
We would take the meeting. We'd still...
Yeah, why did we do that?
Because we want
to be in the mix.
We're game.
Do you think he's sexy?
Ted Cruz? No. I don't think he's sexy to anybody.
Trump is way sexier. It's hard to say it. It's hard to say it, but we know that it's true.
Do you think Rubio's sexy?
No.
I think he's good looking.
He's handsome, but he's completely unsexy. Mm. In fact, if he could, Rubio, get sexy and then...
Then call me.
Is he out?
Maybe by now.
Yeah. You know who was sexy? Martin O'Malley.
He's sort of getting a lot of credit for being like Tommy Carchetti from The Wire, right? You're thinking of him and thinking he's sexy.
Yeah, they're both sexy.
Martin O'Malley, generic face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sexy.
Handsome.
Very handsome, generic successful face. All right.
Should we do a main?
Yeah, let's do it.
What should we mainline?
You introduce that with a smile.
Wait, but I don't think it's going
to
stick.
Was that a catchphrase?
I don't know.
Do you want a main line? I think main line.
No. That's not great, buddy. Okay.
Cool. Nice try. You got to keep trying things. You know. Fail fast, right?
I think we need a better term than just a main.
Main event? What do we need?
Yeah,
the big one.
You know, actually, at some point soon, I'm going to start doing a column in Great Debates News.
We've been waiting for that.
There's been some action. Well, I'm kind of, now that there's some action on what it should be called, listeners have been writing in. We've had some great suggestions.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like letting it percolate a little bit longer to see if we can, you know,
get a feeling this is going to percolate for quite a while.
No, I have some good ideas for what I'm going to do.
Great.
And also, stay tuned for more issues, so to speak, of the contrarian corner.
Are we
going to
get a contrarian corner this week?
Maybe not this week, but it'll be sporadic.
If you don't subscribe to Great Debates News, by the way, you should do it on our website. We have the anonymous investor. He gives you stock tips. We have all kinds of great... It's amazing. There's photos.
It's one of my favorite reads every week. I read it every Monday.
Yeah.
As soon as I see it in my inbox, I have time for it. It's like the perfect length.
Yeah.
It's incredibly engaging. It's very well written.
If you're a subscriber, by the way, it's almost certainly going to your spam folder. There's nothing we can do about that. It's the way Tiny Letter works.
But the reason I brought all that up is, listeners, write in and make a suggestion if you have one for what we should, a new name for the main event.
The Big D.
No.
For debate.
The Big D. No. Okay, I'm ready to begin what is currently called the main event.
Yes.
Steve Healy taking the pro.
Yes.
Topic up for debate. Most men in world history have had a concussion.
I'm Steve Healy. I'm taking the pro. Listen, life is violent. It's brutal. For most of world history, humans were in conflict with each other and with animals. Even now, in our modern civilized times, I would guess something like a quarter of all men have had a concussion. They've been bonked on the head playing sports, in war, in conflict, by accident. A heavy rock or log has fallen on their head. They've gotten into a car accident. They've had a concussion, and most of the men who ever lived have definitely been bonked, fallen on a rock, gotten whacked on the head with a club, been running after an animal, fell over a cliff, bonked themselves on the way down. Most of the men in world history have had a concussion.
100% wrong. Most men in history have not had a concussion. A couple of key facts we need to get right off the bat. Anna Healy, I know you're scared. Because you don't know where I'm going.
I'm excited to find out.
But you know I got something.
I've never once been scared during a debate. I've only ever been excited.
Well, you should be scared.
Okay.
Let's start off with the biggie.
Okay.
Infant mortality.
Okay.
Taken away probably half of the male births in history.
Do they count as men?
You're goddarn right they do.
I don't know. We're talking about
why
men,
do they not
boys or babies. Men. This is a matter of definitions here.
Well, I think they're men. Were you not born a man?
Keep going.
Okay. You said that throughout most of history, there's been like violence and combat with animals or something.
Something like a quarter of all people who've ever lived were killed violently, right?
No. I don't think that's true. I think
Keep going.
But that's not the real history of human beings. Most of human history was spent like calmly walking around looking for nuts. It's foraging. It's not like running into an antelope and getting. By the way, getting a concussion is not the same as like running into something or hitting your head. It takes a pretty substantial blow to the head to cause an actual concussion, which is, I believe, defined as a loss of consciousness. I mean, sure, a lot of people like hit their head, but basically my argument is that first of all, I stand by the infant mortality. Most men died within the first 2 years of their lives.
Okay.
But hold on. But in addition to that, most of human history was spent just sort of walking around looking for stuff. There was almost no way to get a concussion unless you slipped and hit your head on a rock, you probably died.
Sorry, you're in opening statements? You want to
keep
going?
I'm done. Go ahead.
I love the beautiful Edenic vision you have of early man. I just don't think it's accurate. I think you're walking along looking for nuts and then boom, you get hit on the head by a rock thrown by another guy who's also looking for nuts and you're in his zone. Or like you and your band of nut lookers is going around and then another band of nut seekers comes along and next thing you know, it's a free for all and people are getting bonked on the head left and right, clubbed every which way. I mean, we know that this is what early primate transitional period of humanity was like. Now, I think you left a pretty big argument on the table, and just in the spirit of sportingness, I'm going to give it to you. I think that, like, depending on when we're defining men, like when you became a human, like the skull of the Homo sapiens used to be a lot thicker. And if we're talking about like Neanderthals and stuff, I think their skulls were pretty serious. So they probably didn't get concussions, even in the heavy blows that were rained on them at the time.
Great. Do you have any other arguments you'd like to make for me?
No, but pick up with that.
Okay, well, fine. That's great, too. That's another reason why I'm correct. You said that you believe that only 25% of current living men have received concussions, which I think is a point in my favor. The great numbers of history skew towards more present-day humans, and I believe roughly about one out of every 16 people ever born are alive today.
Okay.
So an enormous just by saying that 25% of all living men have not, you gave that to me. That means that right off the bat, that takes like 3% of all people. I'm sorry, more than that. You're taking away about 12% of all men in human history you are admitting have never had a concussion. And that doesn't include everyone who was before, who was born before people who are alive today.
We're living in the great age of non-concussions. And still, like, one of the most popular games is football bashing into each other. Plus, just about every boy in America is climbing up a tree and he falls off, he bonks his noggin, he's playing hockey, whatever. Like, we live in a relatively concussion-free social strata. We live with people who work using their brains mainly.
I weirdly think that I feel like, great, sure, we live in a concussion-free society now. Yeah. I think that human history, I think the further back we go, the fewer concussions there were. And that's why when we put both of these arguments, weirdly yours and mine, together, what we find is that the vast majority of men, and again, throw in the fact that most men died before they were 3 years old, most men, by a huge proportion, did not get a concussion. This whole thing, I just don't buy into this idea that, like, when as small groups of people in ancient history, they would constantly be hit on the head with rocks. Not so the case at all. I think most evidence shows that they were collectives. They were more like little socialist societies where everyone knew that they had to work together in order to survive.
I love this attitude that you have. Like, this is so fitting in with Host Chat. You're like America's favorite.
We're not in Host Chat, Healy.
You're calling back from what we were talking about in Host Chat, and you're like the cool college professor who believes everybody was communist and everything was groovy and they shared women and this is great. Everybody loves coming to your class. It's one of the most popular classes at Middlebury or wherever it is you are. But look, man, the brutal fact is that human life, nasty, brutish, and short. These guys were walking around fighting each other constantly. They were looking for excuses to fight. They were running into each other, bashing each other. They were hunting. They were struggling. The fields of nuts were battlegrounds of tribes trying to get them and claim them. For that matter, even within the tribe, violence, jealousy, struggle over who has the most nuts, these were conflicts that were settled through violence.
Yeah, but you're arguing that that violence equals concussion.
It does.
And that's not, but that's not the case.
Once you put a rock or club into it,
it's almost just as easy in those circumstances to kill someone as it is to give them a concussion.
That counts. You're getting a concussion on your way
out. I disagree. You know what? Hey, how about this? I'll give you that. I'll give you concussion on the way out if you give me infant mortality.
I'm not giving you infant mortality.
I don't understand how that can't be men here. Yeah, but boys are men. They're males.
Okay, but can we lightly leave babies out of it? Or do you really want to have babies? Like, they're ruled out because they don't.
What percentage of babies in history do you think have gotten a concussion?
I don't know what counts as a concussion for a baby. I think a lot of babies in human history were injured by blows to the noggin. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Do we need closing statements? I don't think we do.
Okay, pass on closing statement.
All right, Medina, what happened?
What did you make of this mess?
I don't like the babies thing. I'm going to come right out and say that. I think that's a stretch. It's one of those, like, the spirit of the debate thing.
I hate the spirit of the debate. What I love is the letter of the debate.
I'm coming around to Dave should be encouraged to battle the letter of the debate.
Okay, cool. Yeah, cool. I mean, what's more
and
fun?
And then I should be encouraged to be like, come on.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Medina.
Okay, well, first of all, Medina, do you think most men in world history had concussions?
I don't. It seems like such a rare thing.
Wow, interesting.
If you got 25 guys and a crew of nut collectors, and one of them gets a concussion, it's like a big deal, and like it happens. It's not like we're all hanging out at the pool and like 10 of us get concussions and the rest of us, half of us,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
It's a lot.
I bet that on the old nut collector days, they would play games of just bashing into each other for sport and at festivals.
But yeah. 51% of us getting concussions.
Have you guys ever gotten a concussion?
I've banged my head pretty good. I don't know if I've properly gotten a concussion.
I don't think I have.
I've gotten two concussions in my life.
Really?
That I'm pretty sure of, yes.
How?
When?
Well, one was at camp, Alton, when I was about 12 years old, and we were doing football drills, terrible idea for young boys. And I was lined up against Jeremy Copeland, who had probably 80 pounds on me at least.
Uh-huh.
And it was like one of those like lineman drills. What am I
just
doing in that?
Bashing away.
The counselor, whose nickname was Tank, not a joke, encouraged this. And I remember thinking, like, I'm going to get creamed here.
Right.
He blows the whistle. I get creamed. And
true to prediction.
And I literally like woke up on my back a few seconds later, not having no memory of the experience of getting hit.
Did anybody, were people like making a big deal out of it?
No, I think I was like, I got to sit down and I think I'm done for the day. Okay. And they were like, yeah, all right, that's, you know. And then the other time, of course, was when I was 15 years old and I fainted in Aix-en-Provence and hit my head on the cement and broke my nose.
I wish I'd known that you had had two concussions, because that really makes me think that most men, because you've led one of the most nut collecting lives ever.
I would say I lean towards nut collecting. Yeah. Yes, I do not try to get myself in situations where my head is
peaceful,
at risk.
You've been blessed to live in peaceful places whole life.
Yes,
never in situations of violence, and you had two.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think most men have had concussions.
I got mugged once also, and they dropped me on the ground, and I might have gotten a concussion then because I was pretty dazed. Maybe I have CTE or something.
What are the odds that Dave's mugger is listening to this? If so cool. Fess up.
Bro.
Two muggers, by the way, was, you know, I was mugged by a girl. Uh-huh. A guy, more accurately, this is turning into a pretty embarrassing episode,
hey,
but
I'll take it.
A man held me while a woman mugged me.
What does that mean?
It means that they were a couple. I don't know if they were romantically involved. I like to think that they were.
Yeah.
And
do you think they had sex after mugging you?
Totally. Exactly.
Okay.
I was in New York. It was like really late. I was sort of just like, I was on the phone with our friend Matt Hubbard, who was in LA at the time. And
he couldn't help?
No, he couldn't. He was 3,000 miles away.
Yeah.
Obviously, he couldn't help.
Yeah.
That was a terrible question. You know that, right? Okay. So, sorry. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know. Tell the story.
The guy was like, the guy just kind of like grabbed me from behind and kind of either full Nelson me or like held me.
Okay.
And the weird part was that there seemed to have been no planning, because the guy goes to the girl, his boo.
Uh-huh.
He goes, go through his pockets, go through his pockets.
Okay.
And I tried to do that thing of like taking my cash out, just giving the cash.
Uh-huh.
But I got my wallet out of my pocket and she grabbed the wallet, and then the guy dropped me on the ground and I hit my head.
Oh no.
And then I had to go back and.
But how cute was the girl?
Don't remember.
Uh-huh.
Wasn't feeling any sort of like horniness level. I don't think we really hit it off in any way. I think she wanted drug money and not to like, it wasn't like a Tinder situation. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 This was pre-Tinder.
Epilogue.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On my birthday, I get a package in the mail.
Uh-huh.
My wallet. Employee of the New York City subway found my wallet, found my driver's license, actually sent it to my parents' house.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
And as a coincidence, on my birthday, the wallet arrived. And the cash was gone, but everything else was in there.
Great.
There you go. This was a great argument for the violence of humanity, concussions all the time.
Mm.
Yeah.
You're just pointing that out one more time.
Yeah.
Take what you can get.
I think I left it too much on the field.
Guys, we had a fun time today at the Great Debates. So let's just recap some things that listeners can do. They can
actionables.
Tweet at us.
We're at
GreatDebate69. They can comment on our Instagram photos that we post every now and then and message
Producer
us in
Mark
that
does
way.
A great job over there.
They can email us, greatdebate69@gmail.com. They can sign up for our newsletter.
Great Debates News.
They could make a sandwich.
They can listen
outside.
To more episodes. They can tell a friend
tell
about the Great Debate.
Wait, is it Tell a Friend Week again?
Of course
yet?
Not. Yes. Oh, it's barely been 6 months.
It's only once every 6 months?
Tell a Friend Week is once a year.
Right.
Oh. I mean, you're encouraged to tell a friend all the time, but real tell a friend week is once a year. We're like the pledge drive. We don't bother you all the time.
That's good.
Yeah. Well, but if you want to tell a friend, it's fine, guys. Okay.
Get that guilty pleasure of telling a friend not during tell a friend.
Yes, it's like very good reverse psychology.
Naughty feeling.
Guys, we had a great time. We'll see you next week on the Great Debates. The Great Debates is produced by Mark Carosello. Our audio engineer is Mackenzie Kellerman. The debaters are Steve Healy and Dave King. And the podcast is moderated by Dan Medina. Look out.